It's 8 September. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is a Wednesday CG report. This ends the debate. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Well, it seems that COVID is the major thing in the world today. Afghanistan is still a problem, but most of what we'll talk about today is about the COVID epidemic. From Health Impact News, CDC, teens injected with COVID shots have 7.5 times more deaths, 15 times more disabilities, 44 times more hospitalizations than all FDA-approved vaccines in 2021. This is an article by Brian Shilhavi, and he provides sources for all of his material. He says the CDC did another data dump into their VAERS database. As of 27 August 2021, there have been 13,911 deaths, 2,933,377 injury symptoms, 18,098 permanent disabilities, 76,160 ER visits, 56,912 hospitalizations, and 14,327 life-threatening events recorded following experimental COVID-19 vaccinations. Obviously, it's much higher than this, but this is just what they are reporting on. There have now been more than twice as many deaths recorded following COVID-19 shots during the past 9 months since the COVID-19 shots were given emergency use authorization than deaths recorded following all vaccines for the past 30 years. From January 1st, 1991 to November 30th, 2020, the last month before the COVID shots were given emergency use authorization, there were only a total of 6,068 deaths recorded, mostly infant babies, following all vaccines. And yet, the CDC continues to push everyone to get a COVID-19 shot. There have also now been 1,490 recorded fetal deaths following COVID-19 injections of pregnant women. Well, we ought to just call them deaths of human beings because that's what they are. By way of contrast, I performed the same search in the VAERS database for fetal deaths due to the flu shots. And for 2021, so far there are zero. For last year, 2020, there were 16 fetal deaths following flu shots taken by pregnant women. And yet, the CDC continues to recommend that pregnant women get a COVID-19 shot. As I reported, the COVID-19 shots seem to be killing and crippling teenagers in record numbers. I expanded the search to include the new data that just came out and to include age 12 through age 19. The search returned the following results for this age group following COVID-19 shots: 30 deaths, 173 permanent disabilities, 3,575 ER visits, 1,603 hospitalizations, and 316 life-threatening events. Next, I searched the exact same age group for the same time period, December 2020 through the most recent data dump, and excluded COVID-19 shots, but included every other vaccine listed. They include these vaccines, and I'm not going to read them. There's a list about as long as your arm and maybe longer. These are all the vaccines listed in VAERS, minus the three COVID shots. Some of them are no longer in use, and many of these teenagers do not get. But the list does represent every other vaccine teenagers get. And we know that pre-COVID, the largest amounts of deaths and injuries following the Gardasil HPV vaccines and the yearly flu shots for this age group. So, from all these vaccines that included every non-COVID shot that teenagers have received this year so far, there have been 4 deaths, 11 permanent disabilities, 78 ER visits, 36 hospitalizations, and 13 life-threatening events during the same time period as the COVID-19 shots were administered. This means that COVID-19 shots given to our teenagers have 7.5 times more deaths, 15 times more disabilities, and 44 times more hospitalizations than all other FDA-approved vaccines combined that these teenagers are receiving. From Zero Hedge, this ends the debate. Israeli study shows natural immunity 13 times more effective than vaccines at stopping Delta. Now, I just saw a Fox News report on this. Somebody was citing this as a reason for not getting the vaccine, even though he's had COVID. And there was no argument against his logic. It was impeccable. Dr. Anthony Fauci and the rest of Biden's COVID advisors have been proven wrong about the science of COVID vaccines yet again. After telling Americans that vaccines offer better protection than natural infection, a study out of Israel suggests just the opposite is true. Natural infection offers a much better shield against the Delta variant than vaccines. The study was described by Bloomberg as the largest real-world analysis comparing natural immunity gained from an earlier infection to the protection provided by one of the most potent vaccines currently in use. We noted how remarkable it was that the mainstream press was finally giving voice to scientists to criticize Biden's push to start doling out booster jabs. Well, this study further questions the credibility of relying on vaccines, given that the study showed that the vaccinated were ultimately 13 times as likely to be infected as those who were infected previously, and 27 times more likely to be symptomatic. Alex Berenson, a science journalist who has repeatedly questioned the efficacy of vaccines and masks at preventing COVID, touted the study as enough to end any debate over vaccines versus natural immunity. The new analysis relies on the database of Maccabi Healthcare Services, which enrolls about 2.5 million Israelis. The study, led by Tal Patalon and Sivan Gazit at KSM, the system's research and innovation arm, found in two analyses that people who were vaccinated in January and February were, in June, July, and the first half of August, 6 to 13 times more likely to get infected than unvaccinated people who were previously infected with the coronavirus. In one analysis comparing more than 32,000 people in the health system, the risk of developing symptomatic COVID-19 was 27 times higher among the vaccinated, and the risk of hospitalization 8 times higher. This time, the data leaves little doubt that natural infection truly is the better option for protection against the Delta variant, despite the fact that the U.S. won't acknowledge the already infected as having antibodies protecting them from the virus. As the first country to achieve widespread coverage by the vaccine, Israel is now in an unthinkable situation. Daily case numbers have reached new levels as the Delta variant penetrates the vaccine's protection like a hot knife slicing through butter. At the very least, the results of the study are good news for patients who have already successfully battled COVID, but show the challenge of relying exclusively on immunizations to move past the pandemic. This analysis demonstrated that natural immunity affords longer-lasting and stronger protection against infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization due to the Delta variant. Unfortunately, the study also showed that any protection is time-limited. Protection offered by natural infection wanes over time, just like the protection afforded by vaccines. The risk of a vaccine breakthrough Delta case was 13 times higher than the risk of developing a second infection when the original illness occurred during January or February 2021. That is significantly more than the risk for people who were ill earlier in the outbreak. What's more, giving a single shot of the vaccine to those who had been previously infected also appeared to boost their protection. Still, the data don't tell us anything about the long-term benefits of booster doses. The latest data showing the vaccines don't offer anywhere near the 90% plus protection that was originally advertised by the FDA after the emergency authorization. Other studies are finding harmful side effects caused by the mRNA jabs are also more prevalent than previously believed. hence referred to our previous article, the one where all these kids are dying, okay? Lou Rockwell. Florida Governor DeSantis pulls the rug out from under the false COVID narrative. The minute the first COVID case appeared, the U.S. medical establishment began lying through its teeth and is yet to utter one truthful word. The entire big money vaccination campaign is based on the lie that there are no cures. The asserted absence of cures is the only reason for the emergency use of untested and unapproved experimental vaccine. The use of HCQ and ivermectin has been prevented by protocols established by NIH, CDC, and World Health Organization. By false assertion of the public health authorities, read shills for Big Pharma, there are no cures. But President Trump was cured by one, monoclonal antibodies. As of August 21st, 2021, Governor Ron DeSantis has opened about 15 monoclonal antibody clinics in Florida with more opening. I can tell you there's a lot more opening because it's very popular. As evidence of cures pour in, the justification for emergency use of the experimental COVID vaccine disappears. The panicked medical establishment with its imposed and false protocols is demanding full approval of the vaccine before the required testing is complete and despite the obvious failure of the vaccine. Otherwise, the vaccination marketing campaign grinds to a stop, leaving the secret agendas unserved. We can't have that. So the dangerous experimental vaccine must be approved so it can continue to be mandated and the secret health unrelated agendas served. By exposing the COVID deception, DeSantis has painted a target on his back. A corrupt medical establishment so determined to vaccinate all and follow up with endless booster shots that it denied sick and dying people known cures and fired and took away licenses of doctors who used the known cures to save lives is not going to take lightly their exposure as frauds by DeSantis. Expect any day to have the prestitute at the Washington Post, NPR, or CNN produce women accusing DeSantis of sexual abuse, or the crazed New York Times to accuse DeSantis of being a Russian agent and working with Cuba to discredit the CDC and NIH, or the FBI to bring false corruption charges, or Democrats in the state legislature to open an investigation of misappropriation of funds. The American establishment has zero tolerance for truth tellers and for anyone who gets in the way of its self-serving agendas. Are Floridians intelligent enough to protect their governor who kept their state open and free? Probably not, he says. Well, I'd have to agree with that. There's just way too many dumb people in the world, and they'll go along with the mainstream lies. But that was a couple weeks ago when that first came out, that article, and I've been saving it to see if anything would follow up. They haven't done any of the things that he guessed would happen, but next article, PJ Media. Why in the world is the government disrupting the distribution of monoclonal antibodies now? After demonizing nearly every medication with the potential to reduce the severity of COVID-19 symptoms, the NIH finally recommended monoclonal antibodies earlier this summer. Before the official recommendation, some providers used them under an EUA granted by the FDA in November 2020. The FDA just granted an EUA to allow their use for SARS-CoV-2 post-exposure and ongoing prophylaxis. This approval will increase demand. During the week leading into the Labor Day holiday, DeSantis was on the road again, touting the success of Florida's program in disconnecting COVID-19 infection from hospitalization in the state. Patients gave personal testimony about their experience with the treatment. Hospitalizations in the state declined 20% during the first few weeks the infusion centers were up and running. Then something interesting happened. On Friday, just last Friday, someone who claimed to be an urgent care specialist tweeted that HHS had informed him that the government would now decide which facilities would receive doses of monoclonal antibodies. So now the government is getting involved in, read, restricting monoclonal antibody distribution. Before, I could just order as much as we needed and they shipped it the next day. Now a government commission will decide when, if, and how much I will be able to get for my patients. Should you have any questions regarding this update in ordering and distribution procedures, please email the Federal COVID-19 Response Team. Wonderful. He added the alert from HHS that confirmed his assertion. Now, only facilities participating in the HHS Protect program can order the treatment, and the agency will review all orders. Suppose the current distribution map provided by HHS includes the HHS Protect facilities. In that case, the new order review process seems like a heavy administrative burden for the program. It may delay or limit treatment for at-risk patients. You think you get the government involved in anything and it's going to limit it and it's also going to cause the deaths of more people, which is exactly what they want. From Zero Hedge, Rolling Stone, horse dewormer hit piece debunked after hospital says no ivermectin overdoses. You may have heard this article if you have taken a nap for the next 2 minutes, but it's something that I wanted to get out to you if you are not aware of it. After Joe Rogan announced that he'd kicked COVID in just a few days using a cocktail of drugs, including ivermectin, an antiparasitic prescribed for humans over 35 years with over 4 billion doses administered, and most recently as a COVID-19 treatment, the left quickly started mocking Rogan for having taken a horse dewormer due to its dual use in livestock. Rolling Stone's John Blistein led the charge. Rolling Stone's Peter Wade took another stab, publishing a hit piece claiming that Oklahoma ERs were overflowing with people overdosing on horse dewormer. It was suspect from the beginning. The report, sourced to local Oklahoma outlet KFOR's Caitlin Ogle, cites Oklahoma ER Dr. Jason McElier, claimed that people overdosing on ivermectin horse dewormer are causing emergency rooms to be so backed up that gunshot victims were having hard times getting access to health facilities. As people take the drug, McElier said, patients have arrived at hospitals with negative reactions like nausea, vomiting, muscle aches, and cramping, or even loss of sight. The scariest one that I've heard of and seen is people coming in with vision loss, the doctor said, except the article provided zero evidence for McElier's claims, causing people to start asking questions. And while neither KFOR or Rolling Stone mentioned the hospital McElier worked for, NHS Sequoia, located in Salisaw, Oklahoma, just issued a statement disavowing McElier's claims, which pops up when you visit their website. It reads, although Dr. Jason McElier is not an employee of NHS Sequoia, he is affiliated with a medical staffing group that provides coverage for our emergency room. With that said, Dr. McElier has not worked at our Salisaw location in over 2 months. NHS Sequoia has not treated any patients due to complications related to taking ivermectin. This includes not treating any patients for ivermectin overdose. All patients who have visited our emergency room have received medical attention as appropriate. Our hospital has not had to turn away any patients seeking emergency care. We want to reassure our community.